Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
As you often point out, when people talk about health care in the United States, they're generally talking about health insurance,
yeah.
Not actual treatment for health.
Nope.
And this new bill, and I've not actually read the article, but my guess is, based on what you were telling me, this new health care bill is all about insurance. It's not actually about the care that people receive for their health.
Right. And no conversation in Washington in the foreseeable future is actually going to be about health care. It's always going to be about premiums. It's always going to be about what does the plan offer that that this side or that side is going to propose.
And what are we mandating that the plans wind up covering?
Exactly. Yes, it has to have birth control covered 100% and with no co-pays. When do we start using
it's
got to
include things for coverage for like pap smears and mammograms. Doesn't matter, Chris, that you're a 50-something-year-old man.
Right.
And you have no use for pap smears and mammograms.
But I'm covered.
Don't assume his gender. What are you talking about?
You don't know about the Gordian knot. Okay.
I don't.
Please, Daryl.
So the Gordian knot, and Chris, fill in here if I'm incorrect somewhere. It's from like ancient Greece, possibly mythology, possibly real, part legend, whatnot. But there was a claim of whoever can untie or undo the Gordian knot would rule all of Greece. And if I recall correctly, Alexander the Great went and tried to undo, and he looked at it and he realized that it was such a cluster that the only way to undo it was to just pull out his sword and whack it in twain and just cut it in half. That's the only way to untie the Gordian knot because it's such a ball of, stuff.
Sure.
Did he win?
He hacked it in two, and then, he was like, the first real emperor of Greece and united all of the city-states.
Heather very astutely pointed out some of the problems that are caused when people don't follow the law. I'm not talking about our bureaucrats, who are idiots to the law. I think they don't care what it says. They do as thou wilt.
And I believe the U.S. Supreme Court said that it doesn't matter whether bureaucrats actually know the law or not, as long as they're acting in good faith.
Yeah,
I think
like
I'm
a,
would be like a paraphrasing a little bit.
The Supreme
Court
is, wouldn't it?
Right.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. Nothing in government these days would surprise me. What shocks me, though, is how much of a juggernaut and how far along into the depths of really chaos we've come from something that really could have worked quite well. I'd like to see us get back to that. But what Heather pointed out relative to simply withdrawing this stuff, it is important because, when the federal government does things like this, it affects people. And they assume a certain responsibility when they do that. And they open themselves up to a certain amount of liability. And that's where the problem lies, because who pays when the government has to pay? The people do.
We are not being silent about this, but there are the people that say, well, the fact that you still live in the United States is your consent to everything
do. I'm talking about specifically what Heather said relative to doctor's offices. If they're going along with it, they're participating. They're taking an active role. I understand what you're saying. You're speaking out about it. You've got audio and video recordings of what you're doing and what you're saying. Probably to have something in writing in the form of an affidavit submitted would be even more helpful. But, again, that old maxim of law does stand true, and that is if you're silent, it's looked at as either fraud or agreement. And
you mean like
way,
why don't all the doctors and stuff in our communities just ignore Medicare and start making their own rules and doing their own things? Like they're kind
of at least fight it. At least fight it, because otherwise by their silence and by their going along with it, they create what you're talking about, Heather, is a fiduciary responsibility.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where they get hooked. And that's where we as a country are right now, because you've got insurance companies that went out of business, said, okay, we're out of here. You've got people that depend on this thing.
Title of this is New GOP Healthcare Bill Could Allow Cheaper Plans with Fewer Benefits. Washington. Senate Republicans unveiled their newest health care bill Thursday as they continue to search for the majority needed to repeal and replace Obamacare. Now it's up to senators to decide if they like it. The new bill includes major changes to the original. One of the most significant was the inclusion of an amendment by Texas Senator Ted Cruz, which would allow insurers offering Obamacare plans to also offer cheaper bare-bones policies. The amendment was included in an effort to earn more conservative support, but could also drive away some moderates who fear the amendment could drive up premiums for those with pre-existing conditions. Again, we're not talking about health care. We're talking about health insurance.
Right. And, you know, this reminds me, and I'm going to go off on a sports thing here for a moment. Many years ago, Allen Iverson was in a press conference. And you probably have heard the thing before because it's just so absolutely ridiculous, where he was asked a question about something and he said, we're not talking about the game. We're talking about what I did in practice. Cadillac plan, for those that may have only ever heard the term but not ever heard a definition of the term, it's basically, you know, like a high upscale sort of coverage.
Yeah, it's really, really, really good insurance that comes at a really, really high price.
Yeah.
But you know, and I had a problem with it because it was our town's tax dollars going towards it, which we then scaled it all back. But if people want to buy a really good health care plan, why should they be penalized for buying a really, really good anything?
Because the 1% or something?
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to continue with this article. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is still in search of the 50 votes he needs to pass the bill. He could only afford to lose two senators, but the hope for leadership is that a few changes may be able to finally get Republicans on a path to repeal and replace Obamacare after 7 years of campaign promises. 7 years of campaign promises.
Yeah. This is one of those things to where I think that, you know, the Republicans are just going to wind up using it as one of their campaign pledges, but never actually do it.
Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski, one of the GOP holdouts, was unhappy the reporters had seen a summary distributed to lobbyists before she had seen the bill. Really?
This is interesting. And it's one of those things to where you kind of have to wonder, was this intentional, or had she just, you know, maybe not been in her office when copies were being distributed?
Nah, it was, I'm sure all this stuff is a well-orchestrated leak fest.
I'm sure it is.
All right, we'll give it to this paper, but not to this one, and then we'll let him, let the senator see it. Asked if she was upset by how the process unfolded, she said, yes, I think that as a courtesy to those of us who were actually making the decisions, that we would actually have the opportunity to see it first, Murkowski added. A major question remains whether President Donald Trump can use his bully pulpit to actually move senators. Trump has lobbied for Republicans to move quickly. The president said Wednesday he would be, quote, very angry, unquote, if Republicans can't pass the bill.
And I'm sure he'll shake his tiny, tiny little fist in indignation if they don't. There's no real good solution to this as far as the options that are currently presented in front of Congress.
Of course not.
Can you give like a little backdrop of net neutrality for...
Well, this goes to my point. And Stefan, you can either agree with me or not, but my basic argument is... there's no two groups of people that actually agree on what the heck net neutrality actually is.
Well, the common agreement that people have is net neutrality basically means an internet service provider cannot favor certain sites over other sites in terms of speed. Like, they can't make YouTube really fast, but, you know, make, you know, Facebook really slow, for example.
Or make a lot of freetalklive.com really slow, because their Facebook has billions of users.
Number
Free Talk Live, not
very,
so
very
much.
Few, sure.
Now, are you guys a fan of that? I mean, do you think service providers should be able to discriminate?
Well, here's the thing. There are people that wind up, you know, basically fear-mongering of, if we don't have net neutrality, I always forget if it's if we do or if we don't, but the fear is, you know, one way the internet service providers will say, all right, you want to get online, it's going to be $40. You want to go to sites that aren't Netflix and Facebook, you've got to give us another $20.
Is it not better to be tried by six than, what is it, or tried by 12 and then carried by six, right? Like, I mean, if you see a cop, like in the Kelly Thomas case, if those of you that haven't seen it, this innocent homeless man sitting on a curb, harming absolutely no one, was killed because he was beaten by six police officers so badly that it broke some bone, like lodged, like what was that bone right there on his forehead, that they beat him with the back of a taser so bad that it broke this bone that most people,
yeah, plus they tased Kelly Thomas in the face like 20 times the entire time he's
crying for his
help.
And he's crying for his dad. It was the most heartbreaking video I've ever seen in my life.
I believe he said, I'm sorry, somewhere around,
he was,
you know,
pleading with them,
times.
Saying, I'm sorry. And this officer, right, that essentially started the whole thing, as he was putting on gloves, says, you know, I'm about to F you up. Like, right. This was like a pure case of like just brutality. And that's the type of person where I'm like, dude, I would love for a good Samaritan to have just come up out of nowhere and like pop this guy off,
right,
in defense of the freaking
poor man, unfortunately,
crying on the ground. But because they're police officers, right, they just, nobody will.
There's something that I saw on Twitter a couple days ago that, you know, very accurate. It said, do what you're told and you won't get hurt is not what you tell people that live in a free society. That's what you tell people that live in a concentration camp.
It's a good point. It's a really good point.
Yeah, and that brings reminds me of that article I read the other day that somewhere, I was in Keene, they painted a blue line on the road.
Sure.
Yeah, that was actually talked about on Free Talk Live a couple nights ago, where down the middle of Marlboro Street, which runs right in front of the police station, they put this blue line right between the yellow lines because blue lives matter, thin blue line, something, something, even though the National Highway Transportation something another said, you're not allowed to do that. Blue is not a legal color to put on a roadway. It is not a legal road marking.
Yeah, on the there's a positive side, it is, and it was pointed out that Keene, New Hampshire's local government is practicing civil disobedience.
We used to pretend that law enforcement was here to protect and serve, and in that instance, if you look at the video, which is painful to watch, admittedly, yep, a conversation could have ended right after, I pulled you over because your taillight was out, sir.
Right. And that could have been the end of it.
Please take care of that right away. That's for your safety and the safety of others. Just wanted to make sure you were aware. End of story. Goodbye.
It could have ended that easily.
Sure.
But if you go back and you listen to the transmission that the police officer made before pulling over Philando Castile, he said, he's got a wide set nose. I'm going to pull him over because he might fit the description.
I did catch that.
So the whole thing of the taillight being out was just a ruse and,
right,
you know, completely made up. That's not why Philando Castile was pulled over. But had his taillight actually been out, it could have ended as easily as you just suggested.
So do we know, was there any investigation by the worthless defense attorney to find out if his taillight was out?
I think I could tell in the video. I think the taillight was actually out.
The United States, does it have the climate to be able to grow poppy?
I don't know what the growing climate needed for poppy is.
I'm sure you
that's
could...
something that, you know, like if you found a horticulturist, they would probably know the answer.
I imagine there's some people somewhere in this country growing some poppy.
I'd imagine that if you Googled that, you probably get an answer, and then you probably get a confirmation the next day from some drug enforcement officials who could tell you
that's exactly why. That's why I would never do that. Because
I'll Google it. I'll take one for the team, okay, guys?
So, I'm gonna do it right now. Funny enough, I just tried to Google and my VPN disconnected itself.
See?
Hey, Daily Digest listeners. If you're like me, then you really enjoy Free Talk Live and the message of liberty. Yet you may not always have the time to listen to an episode of Free Talk Live. So you listen to the digest instead. If you enjoy the digest, please donate $5 to $10 per month to patreon.com/crblake86. That's patreon.com/crblake86. You can also donate with Bitcoin or Ether. See the show notes for further details.
What's new? The revised legislation has $45 billion in opioid treatment funding, a top request from senators like Rob Portman of Ohio and Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, as well as the state stabilization money, as well as in-state stabilization money aimed at lower premiums for high-cost enrollees. And high-cost enrollees, people with pre-existing conditions and things like that. But another concern for moderate senators that the Senate bill makes steep cuts in Medicaid funding was not addressed in the new version. The original bill calls for slashing $772 billion from Medicaid by 2026, compared to current law, leaving 15 million fewer people insured by the program. Daryl, I think it's important to note that whatever number you pick there, none of them are sustainable.
Right. And again, you know, the wording here is very interesting, where it says the original bill calls for slashing $772 billion compared to the current law by 2026, meaning that over the next 9 years, there's going to be a total of $772 billion less spent on Medicaid than what is currently projected to be spent. So.
Right. Right.
They're cutting some proposed increases. Why was there ever a prohibition on using a health savings account to pay your premium?
Because a health savings account is not like a savings account. Not like I go to my bank and I say, savings bank of Walpole, I'd like to open up a savings account. I'm going to save money there for my health care. You can't really do that. You can do it as long as you don't tell anybody that's what you're doing it. But if it's an employee run health savings account, that comes with pages and pages and pages of federal regulation that decides exactly what that account can be, how much money can go into it, what it can be spent on.
I remember when I had health insurance back 7, 8, 9 years ago when I worked for an airline. I did not initially have it, but then they rolled out this thing of, well, if you get the high deductible something, something, then we'll give you money in a health savings account.
Yeah.
And I wound up basically getting the same amount of money in an HSA of what I paid for a premium.
Sure.
And I was able to use the health savings account to pay my chiropractor. There is that nice, fancy, like $2 million footbridge.
Yeah, it's a dandy.
I use a couple times a day.
Thanks, government.
Yeah. Thanks, Obama. No, actually, thanks, Obama, because there was some federal grant.
Yeah.
I went to that bridge opening, and the local officials were talking about how much the community got together and rallied to support building this thing, because some local group raised $100,000 of the $2.1 million.
Sweet.
And then the rest of it was federal grants.
That's a lot of money. $100,000, that's
God,
a lot.
What is this bridge made out of? Gold?
Gold.
Concrete and pre-rusted I-beams.
And libertarian tears.
And I'm serious about the pre-rusted I-beams.
A $2.1 million bridge.
Yes.
Footbridge.
I would have done it for half the price.
Footbridge, would you?
Yeah.
I'd actually carry people across for a year for $2.1 million.
And then there's another one on the southern side of Keene that I've not used yet.
Yeah.
But apparently the newest footbridge, there's actually a tunnel that goes up under the road right next to the bridge, which makes no sense to me. Like, why build a bridge over the road when you've got a tunnel going under?
Some people like to go uphill, Daryl. Some people like to go downhill. You got a little something for everybody. Over the past 6 years, rooftop solar panel installations have seen explosive growth, as much as 900% by one estimate. That growth has come to a shuttering stop this year with a projected decline in new installations of 2%, according to projections from Bloomberg New Energy Finance. A number of factors are driving the reversal, from saturation of markets like California to financial woes at several top solar panel makers. But the decline has also coincided with a concerted and well-funded lobbying campaign by traditional utilities, which have been working in states' capitals across the country to reverse incentives for homeowners to install solar panels.
So one thing that I remember hearing probably 20-plus years ago, when solar first kind of started being a thing, it was
outside the realm of science fiction. It was things that people were actually doing.
You can buy a solar panel, and then you will never have a utility bill again.
Right.
Saint Elon, patron saint of Musk cronyism, he's not happy. Because apparently, according to Bloomberg New Energy Finance, the installation rate of rooftop solar is declining to like 2%. It had exploded over the last 6 years to as much as 900%, according to one estimate. I'd like to see what the other estimates say.
Right.
But, no matter how you wind up, doing the math here, it's undeniable that a lot of people wound up installing rooftop solar panels. And again, the article from the New York Times says that there were a number of factors driving the installation, but also driving the reversal, including saturation in markets like California, as well as financial woes of top solar panel makers. And why would they be having financial woes? Maybe the fact that they've oversaturated certain markets where people are getting tax credits and being incentivized to do something that they wouldn't otherwise do?
Their efforts have met with considerable success, dimming the prospects for renewable energy across the United States. Prodded in part by the utilities campaign, nearly every state in the country is engaged in a review of its solar energy policies. Since 2013, Hawaii, Nevada, Arizona, Maine, and Indiana have decided to phase out net metering, crippling programs that spurred explosive growth in the rooftop solar market. Nevada recently reversed its decision. Many more states are considering new or higher fees on solar customers. Quote, "We believe it's important to balance the needs of all our customers," unquote, Jeffrey Ostermeyer of Edison Electric Institute, the most prominent utility lobbying group, said in a statement. The same group of investor-owned utilities is now poised to sway solar policy at the federal level. Brian McCormick, a top executive at the Edison Institute, is Energy Secretary Rick Perry's chief of staff. The Energy Department did not make Mr. McCormick available for an interview.
One of the problems with solar energy and actually any kind of more distributed energy systems is that it's really regulated against the people with smaller installations. The nature of the public utility commissions everywhere, including New Hampshire, have been in this mode of big, huge power plants,
right.
even the nuke plants and all of that. Oh, that's much better than getting some wind or solar power, locally, and I completely disagree. I think that the right answer of a future very reliable power system is a very much distributed power system.
Agreed.
And that, wind and solar and small hydro and collecting sewer gases and whatever to turn a generator.
A lot of these ideas, and I'll say with the exception of solar, the idea of, trapping gases and burning them and spinning a turbine to generate electricity or to use windmills, we saw that. That happened back in the 1900s and the 1910s, when the idea of when electricity itself to be used this way was a new idea, you know, to light one's home, to power appliances, and just entrepreneurs and people tinkering around in their garage, you know, they're like, wow, you know, you run a motor backwards and it generates. Well, why can't I do that? And these small hydro things, I mean, we were experimenting with that stuff. And as I've looked into a lot of designs, particularly in like the micro hydro, the idea that you take a very small stream and generate some electricity from it, a lot of these designs go back to the 1800s.
Right. And I'm honestly surprised that there's not more of that micro hydro. It seems to me that all of the hydropower in the United States is this, let's massively disrupt the flow of a river hydro instead of put a small generator up under the current.
That's funny you guys say that, because when I ran for state senate in Massachusetts back in 2014, one of the things I had suggested in addition to the bloom box, which I've mentioned before, was putting hydropowered turbines in the Cape Cod Canal. Right. And like off the coast of the islands, Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket, there's some of the strongest currents on the entire East Coast.
Right.
I want to say that, you know, we've got the grid, and I want to say that the grid as it sits is a good thing that the infrastructure that we can all use to benefit all of us. You know,
I will disagree there.
I kind of see what he's saying.
Because one of the problems with the grid, and Chris, I'm not sure where you were living about a decade ago.
Can I say a little bit more about it?
Yeah, finish your thought.
Hold on. I just want to explain why I think the grid is a bad thing, and then I'll let you finish. I think it was about a decade ago when there was that, some part of the grid went down on the East Coast, and all of Pennsylvania and parts of New York wound up losing power because the grid.
Well,
there are small towns in northern New York that aren't tied into the grid. They weren't affected.
It's not perfect, but I think go ahead and continue your thoughts, Colin.
Yeah, well, so I can counter that perfectly, Daryl. The fact is that the grid connects everyone, right? It doesn't just connect, you know, the big power companies to the small guy.
Right.
If we have a distributed power system, we can have many, many more breaks in the system that will allow the other parts to go down when there's some bad problem somewhere.
True.
And not affect the rest. I'm talking about a fully distributed power system that basically allows somebody that wants to make 5 kilowatts in their garage can do it, as well as 100 kilowatts or a megawatt,
right,
you know, in a small, you know, factory or something like that.
It should be reiterated that in most cases, the local power company has a government issued monopoly.
Right.
And they're not happy that, you know, basically there's something akin to competition. It's not real competition.
But it's
something
dollars
akin to competition.
It's dollars flowing. Here's an analogy. They like their money to be like direct current. It only flows one way.
Yes.
The money flows into them. They don't like the idea of alternating current, where current goes both ways, where money's going back out and some's coming back in.
Nice electrical reference.
That's all right. I'm a geek.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.